when you think about the dancer as an abstract physical structure, there's only so many positions that are kind of obvious. There's the arabesque or the handstand or the this or the that. You have to go much, much deeper to try to find the positions that you haven't seen before or that feels very authentic to the mover. And I think the influence of the space really does allow you to find that inspiration rather than just moving and improvising. You find harsh lines, or you find curves, or you find a position that works within the structure, works within the architecture, works within the light, which is really a special process.
Hey everyone, welcome to the We Are Photographers podcast from Creative Live. I'm your host, Kenna Klosterman, bringing you true stories from behind the lens and behind the lives of your favorite photographers, filmmakers, and creative industry game changers. From their wins to their struggles, we get the real human stories about why they do what they do. Jacob Jonas is a dancer, choreographer, and artistic director who founded Jacob Jonas The Company when he was only 22 years old. His works have been performed around North America, including at the Kennedy Center, the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts, and the Lincoln Center. He is a self-taught photographer, a director, a filmmaker, an educator, and an entrepreneur. In this episode, we talk about coming up as a street performer in Venice Beach as a 13-year-old, the trust required between photographer and dancer to create authentic standout imagery, and we talk about Cameras and Dancers, a series of monthly InstaMeets that bring together influential photographers and dancers, not only building collaborations and building community, but it is also increasing the visibility of the art of dance itself. This is We Are Photographers with Jacob Jonas, and this is his story.
The base of most of what I do is dance and dance choreography. I would consider myself a choreographer first, and then everything else has kind of been an offset to it. But the idea of movement and creating around movement has been the force of my inspiration. I've always been interested in still images with dance, and ever since I started dancing as a student and now having my own company, I've always been interested in collaborating with photographers, mainly as a subject at first, to just document my own kind of physical body. And then as Instagram was developing and as I was kind of getting frustrated with some of the photographers I was shooting with, I was wanting to start shooting my own photos. At first, it was just shooting on my iPhone. And then as the collaborations deepened and my interest deepened, I had gotten more serious cameras and just taught myself how to do it.
So self-taught.
Yes. Never took a photography class.
Let's take a step back and tell me about the Jacob Jonas Dance Company. And I know you were very young when you started it. And so tell me about the origins.
Yeah, Jacob Jonas, the company. We are an LA-based dance company. We create for the stage. So we do shows around the country in performing arts theaters. And we have about 8 to 10 dancers when we do those shows. And we create hour and a half long shows, telling stories, doing different repertory, et cetera, et cetera. And then in addition to that, we also create films and do photography projects. Hashtag Cameras and Dancers is one of them. And then we do a lot of different education and outreach things as well. So that's kind of what the company is at this point. Next year will be our 5-year anniversary. And prior to that, getting into it, I was a dancer, a street performer in Venice Beach. And that's where I started. And then it was just a lot of putting myself in situations where I wanted to learn and grow that got me into learning different styles of dance, eventually choreographing, and then eventually starting a company.
I want to go back to Jacob, the street performer on Venice Beach. I know it well. So describe for me what kind of dance you would do there and what a typical day was out on Venice Beach and that interaction that it brought with people.
Absolutely. So I grew up, my parents were divorced. My dad lived in Beverly Hills and my mom in Santa Monica. So my whole childhood was known of going back and forth all the time, just from this custody schedule. And so at first I was playing sports that was my main interest into and an introduction into physical activity. I really loved the competitive aspect and just the idea of moving and, yeah, physical activity. When I was in Santa Monica, I went to Beverly Hills schools growing up, so all my friends were in Beverly Hills. And on the weekends that I was in Santa Monica, I was more isolated. My friends wouldn't come to Santa Monica as much. And so I started going down to Venice Beach and to the Third Street Promenade on the weekends, just skateboarding by myself. And I came across this group of street performers when I was 12, 13 years old called the Calypso Tumblers and was immediately drawn. The first show I saw them doing, I was very inspired by the acrobatics and the flipping and the movement that they were doing and immediately wanted to be a part of that group. And so that was like in the spring. And then that whole summer, I had spent almost every day down there. So a typical day would be me waking up, going down. We would meet at like 12 o'clock at noon and do street shows from noon till about 7 or 8 in the summer and do maybe like 5 or 6 shows throughout the day. And then wake up, do it again the next day.
Wow. As a 12, 13 year old, how old were the other Calypso Tumblers and what was that like for you?
It was incredible. I mean, I'm a little, at the time, a little Jewish white boy, and they were mainly all black from either South Central. A lot of them were from the Virgin Islands, St. Kitts, St. Thomas, Barbados, and somewhere from Chicago and New York. And they were all between maybe 25 years old to about 50. And it was really inspiring. I mean, they all mastered kind of their own style of breakdance or street dance. And in contemporary ballet and in the modern world, you grow up kind of in a classroom setting where everybody does the same thing. And so you're in a classroom where everyone's doing pliés and doing kind of the same movement vocabulary. Whereas in street dance, there are no classrooms, essentially. It's more you identify your own style and your own personality through kind of that self-taught model. And so all these dancers were specialized. Some were hand balancers, some were flippers, some were power move dancers, some were acrobats. And so it was really nice because I was this kind of young energy that wanted to learn from everybody. And they were all willing to teach as long as I kept coming around. And I had shown a strong commitment to wanting to continue to grow and learn with them. So it was a really beautiful experience and time for me.
Seems like you are one that likes to break the mold and likes to do things a little bit differently than other people have in the past. I'm curious about, like, did you have a lemonade stand when you were 5? And were you always kind of have this entrepreneurial spirit?
Yeah, I think all my siblings, we were all close in that way. We did do lemonade stands, and we always wanted to be active. And I think that was something that was instilled from our parents. We were always going on hikes as a kid. We were always kind of exploring, which was nice. And yes, I think there was always, for me personally, the wanting to connect with people. And so, yeah, absolutely. I did do a lot of those things as a kid, but I hated being inside. I hated being at home.
So let's dive into cameras and dancers in terms of your desire to connect with people. For people that aren't familiar, describe what cameras and dancers is.
Cameras and dancers is an Instameet that I'd started about 3.5 years ago. Simply with the intentions to bring together the mediums of dance and photography, and what it's grown into is something very different. At the time, I was engaged with the Instagram community, mainly the creative community of photographers around the world. And I know Instagram was doing Instameets internationally, the worldwide Instameets. And I was going to New York a few times and just kind of being exposed to it. And at that time, I was like, how cool would it be if I made an Instameet that was specific to dance? And so I just did it. At the time, I had like 2,000 followers on Instagram. And I said, everyone meet at this park at this time and this day. And like 8 people showed up. The next one I did, I was in New York, and it just kind of organically drew where I would post about it on my Instagram and people would show up. Soon later, the Getty Museum had contacted me and saying they wanted to host it. And now today I've hosted 42 events, and I'm very grateful to say I've done it at the biggest institutions. We've done it at the Metropolitan Museum, the Whitney Museum, the Seattle Public Library, the Getty Museum, the Kennedy Center. And we've also done it with dance companies such as New York City Ballet, Paul Taylor, Palabalist, Royal Ballet, the list goes on. But it's turned into this really beautiful community event where photographers and dancers collaborate intimately, spontaneously, and the content is then seen by hundreds of thousands of people online. And a lot of it, too, is my mission to make the art form more visible. I think committing when I was 17, 18 to being a dancer, not going to college, I had a lot of slack from people in my family and just society at large of like, why would you do that? It's not lucrative profession or it's not a valuable profession, the idea of pursuing dance. And there's even to this day, just through Cameras and Dancers and the work that I'm doing separately, is like wanting to change that perspective of the arts being invalued and like that it's a really important thing to be an artist.
First of all, I was honored to participate in the Seattle Public Library. The list of collaborators in all of those pieces truly is phenomenal. And was the virality of that surprising? Was there a moment where you said to yourself, oh my gosh, this is really happening?
Yeah, I don't know if I ever had expectations or goals of what it would turn into in terms of its viral sense or in terms of how many people wanted to take part and what it's grown into. I think it was always just the just kind of leading by passion, not leading by anything else. Still to this day, there's never been a dance company that has paid me to do this thing. It's always been mostly voluntary. And it's, I think it's that sense of just togetherness and creativity that makes it what it is. And I can't take individual credit for it because the people like you and the amount of photographers and dancers and firms that have committed their time to making it what it is has made it what it is. So I think it is that sense of community. And a lot of organizations, myself included, have been on this exploration of what is connectivity in today's modern age of like using social media and not just, you know, sending hard mail, email blasts, and like, how do you connect, especially with the generation of 40 years old and younger? And I think social media really does such a beautiful thing. I think the biggest success for me, I remember this person, I forget what state they were in, but it was in Middle America, and they reached out to me and said, hey, I saw the shoot that you guys did with Paul Taylor. Never heard of that company before. And they came to my city and I went to go, you know, see their show because I saw you post about them and ended up loving it. And to me, that was like the full circle moment of like, this is why I'm doing it, because, you know, I don't just shoot my dance company. I really go out of my way to shoot all different dance companies to really expose this online community of the amazing artists in dance, you know.
Have you seen other examples of a shift in attitude or awareness of the art form that is dance in that younger generation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think naturally there's just this, there can be this competitive spirit or competitive nature within the art form. I think within any art form, because everyone's just trying to find the next gig or find that sense of value or purpose in what they're doing. And in some other art forms, that can come through monetary compensation. It can come through getting a big paycheck and feeling rewarded. But specifically with dance, there really isn't that. Even if you do the biggest job, you know, there's not a lot of financial benefit. And so you're always having to dig deep inside for that sense of self-value or self-worth. And I think the change on perspective of people not coming at it competitively, but coming at it more community-based and supportive has been a real big sense of payoff. I think the work that I'm doing in Los Angeles in terms of the activism and just supporting everybody else, everybody has genuinely been more supportive, which I think is much more beautiful to witness and not competitive.
Community yeah. over competition is you yeah. know, is a great sentiment out there. And I'm curious, you both photograph and are a dancer in terms of these images. So right. Can you describe the differences in the experiences as when you're the one being photographed and then when you're the one photographing?
Totally. I think it's very intimate. It's almost, I mean, I've been in a relationship with one person for a long time, but I think the idea of the intimacy within a relationship is what's beautiful. I think if I'm photographing someone, it's digging deep to find that authentic moment. And I think the same is reverse. It's just, I'm not holding the camera and you're just, it's a sense of trust. You know, it's totally a sense of trust. One where you're kind of holding the other person's trust when you're behind the camera to like make sure you're capturing something beautiful and that they're giving you something authentic. And then the reverse, when you trust that they're photographing you well or composing you well, that, you know, the amount of physical energy that you're putting into the image is worth receiving. But like you said about the meat, I think what's so beautiful is, back to that competitive thing, is like in the arts, no matter how much anyone wants to structure it, you're different if you're creating from an authentic place, you know? And I think what's so beautiful specifically about photography is that, and specifically with this meet, is like you'll have one subject and you might have three photographers shooting it, but one photographer might be like on a really wide lens, one might be on a really tight lens, one might be, you know, so the perspectives are so different. And I think that lends itself to the individuality of the artist that's creating it. And I think just exploring what that relationship is with the photographer or the dancer, every personality is so different. So I think the success is when you just feel like you've had a good collaboration, you know?
How does the energy of the space play into the images and how different those situations are?
I think organizing these things, it was just intersecting the art forms of dance and photography, but as it's developed, it's also introduced this medium of architecture that I never studied, I never really cared for, and now to this date, I'm like such a fan of architecture. And you know, someone like Richard Meyer uses curves and straight lines, where someone like Frank Gehry uses, so everybody uses these different textures and qualities, and the way they allow light to enter their space as well. And then also separate from that, like environment as well. Like we did a shoot at the Venice Skate Park a few months ago, and just being at the beach versus being in a big museum or in a library, and knowing that that's where people read. And I think all the spaces, whether intentionally or subconsciously, influence the work. It does, because the photographers and the dancers and just the staff of a lot of these venues and institutions, they treat us so well. And it really gives you a sense of like making sure that you admire the process as well. With dance, you approach it. You can approach it in two ways. You can look at it like a film or a song and approach it narratively and try to have an arc and try to have a story. Or you can approach it like a painting or and make it very abstract. And so I think there's such a big difference between choreographing a work, be it even 30 seconds or 30 minutes, versus trying to capture one still image. It's such a different process. And so when you think about the dancer as an abstract kind of physical structure, there's only so many positions that are kind of obvious. There's the arabesque or the handstand or the this or the that. And then there's like that, you have to go much, much deeper to try to find the positions that you haven't seen before, or that, you know, feels very authentic to the mover. And I think the influence of the space really does allow you to find that inspiration rather than just moving and improvising. You find harsh lines, or you find curves, or you find, you know, there's a photographer that I work with a lot named Lauren Randolph. She goes by Lauren Lemon on Instagram. And she does this so beautifully, where she finds like these squares of light, or these just these squares or shapes or rectangles, and she has the dancers get in them. So it really forces a sense of creativity on the dancer to not just have a position, but find a position that works within the structure, works within the architecture, works within the light, which is really a special process. And then also what's so cool too, just being the creator of these images in these spaces, you typically see in these museums paintings on a wall or architecture. And that's another thing where dance can kind of feel devalued, because why isn't dance present in these kind of museums? And so it feels nice that we are kind of creating art that's significant to the space, that's non-traditional, because you don't necessarily think of a dancer being in a museum. And so we're able to go in there and show a sense of value to the art form amongst all these other iconic artists, which is, you know, it's really special for us.
How has Cameras and Dancers influenced what has happened with the dance company? Talk me through that.
It's definitely a remarkable feeling, a very lucky feeling. The choreographic work is something that's more unfamiliar to my Instagram audience, because I typically post still images, but it's a completely different brand, I like to say. When talking with people in a marketing perspective, I don't post that much of my choreographic work online. it's more for the experience of sitting down and watching. And it also has such deep meaning, some of it. And so it's hard for someone to look at something online for 10 seconds or a minute long or 3 minutes long and try to grasp what we're doing in terms of the process. But I think they both definitely complement each other. I think Cameras and Dancers has leveraged me as a dance company a lot. Had I not had my experience with Instagram and the Insta meets and the attention and the following that it's kind of generated, I would be just another dance company that is creating really interesting work, but the trajectory would be much different. I'm associating myself with a lot more institutions and creating relationships with a lot of different performing arts organizations. And also just from a marketing lens, you know, a lot of performing arts theaters in this country specifically are struggling a lot, honestly. I mean, there's not a lot of money in the arts, and the idea of digital marketing has changed so much. So in a way, we kind of feel at the forefront of specifically performing arts marketing. I think what Dave Krugman and others have done in terms of revolutionizing that museum marketing has been instrumental. But I think in the performing arts world, there's not one theater that I've found, except for maybe a couple, that has like strong activity online, and dance companies too. Unless they're like at the top and they're paying a lot of money on marketing consulting, a lot of dance companies are invisible online as well. And so we're aware of that kind of work that we're doing, but I don't know. It's such an interesting question. And there are shows like So You Think You Could Dance. They're so known to society, but in my eyes, and I hate to talk poorly, but it's not art. It's just entertainment. And it's just like American Idol is to singing. It's not what you will see at the Grammys, essentially. And so it's unfortunate that dance is so widely seen from an entertainment standpoint, but not from a significant art standpoint. And so much of what I'm trying to do is get people like Merce Cunningham or Alvin Ailey or Paul Taylor or Pina Bausch or Trisha Brown or these artists that have so much significance to me, that have influenced me so much, to be exposed not to society because they are so known, but more to this younger audience of people that don't know who they are because they only know what So You Think You Could Dance is. It's such an interesting question. I will say that the work that we do from a performance standpoint is strong and significant. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the opportunities that we're having. But I do think that social media has helped leverage that. And the theaters do see a benefit of presenting us because it gives them visibility and helps with their ticket sales in addition to just the work.
And again, I'll go back to everybody wins.
Yeah, it's a win-win.
I want to make sure that everybody knows, A, where they can see you and the dance company perform. So where can people go see you, and also then, of course, follow you and everything that you're doing?
So we will be the company in residence next year at the Wallace in Beverly Hills. So we'll be doing two engagements. We'll be doing an engagement in October in the fall, and then in May in the spring of next season. We'll be touring to Hawaii and throughout California as well. And then we also produce a festival on the Santa Monica Pier, not just my own company, but other dance companies too. So those are our touring kind of engagements for our next season. And then in addition to that, we'll be touring year to year. A dance season is just like a school season from September to June. And then sometimes there's summer festivals. So if you just say engage with us online or on our website, you'll be able to get those updates on where we're performing, hopefully near you guys sometime soon. And then also, I encourage you not to just follow my own company, but try to follow the other dance companies that we're engaging with as well. Because although my dance company might not be available, there are dance companies performing in large cities around the country. So
that's awesome. Thank you for that. JacobJonas.com is where people can connect with you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you. I always like to thank the host as well, because your commitment to journalism and exposing, giving artists a platform to share their stories is always really helpful. So thank you for what you're doing as well.
I'm Kenna Klosterman, and you've been listening to the We Are Photographers podcast from Creative Live. At Creative Live, we believe there's a creator and a photographer in all of us, and yes, that means you. If you're looking to get fresh perspectives, inspiration, or skills to boost your hobbies, business, or life, we've got a class or two, or thousands, for you. So just head over to creativelive.com or download our free iPhone app. There are classes playing for free 24/7. And if you haven't already, subscribe, like, and leave a review for We Are Photographers on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week for another episode of We Are Photographers.